If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Sponsored by Nebco and Anderson Ford. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sippel.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back in, hour three of the show. Early Break, Nick Sander filling in for Jake Sorensen here as Steve Sippel, Bill Bush alongside. Before we get to Sean Callahan of Husker Online on three, hour three, sponsored by Nebco.
The Co.
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check them out at concreteindustries.com or nebcoinc.com for more info. And with that being said, let's go to the Aloe VIP line. VIP line brought to you by our friends at Aloe Fiber. Sean Callahan of Husker Online joins us. Sean, good morning. Let's start it off here. Andy Berberia flips his commitment from Nebraska to Clemson. That's kind of been one of the more notable stories of the last couple of days. Kind of run us down on how that all kind of played out and how big is that for Nebraska?
Well, look, when Nebraska was on him and they brought him in, and they knew that there were some academic things in place that were going to make it tough to get him, eligible. I think he has to get several A's this semester in order to kind of get his GPA to get eligible. And, you know, junior college recruiting is different. It used to be just straight credit hours, and you get your associate's degree and transfer it, and now you need a GPA. So there was some work that had to get done, but I think at a certain price point, Nebraska was willing to, like, and we can see if we can get this figured out. Then, obviously, Clemson came in with a bigger offer, and at that point, with what Nebraska knew, they just said, you know what, this doesn't make sense for us. We need to kind of hold back a little bit. We have Dylan Berryman, who's a four-star high school recruit. He's 330 pounds, and we can get him here still at the same time for 2026. So I think that's kind of their focus, you know, for this theoretical last spot they might have left for a defensive lineman is Dylan Berryman, who's, you know, a true freshman guy that they're battling, and they're probably in the lead right now. I mean, Kentucky's in that race, though, too, and some other teams.
How do you feel about the way Nebraska's come out of the portal go-round in the defensive interior? What's your assessment, Sean?
Well, you got three veteran guys that have played, but I think it's just kind of like the eyes in the beholder. I mean, you know, Anthony Jones, you know, he's been at five schools now, but every school he's been at, I think, has almost had a coaching change. So there's a little bit of a story of why he had to move around all these years, because I think every place he's been, the coach has been fired. You know, Stoudemire, I know they're excited about. He was a good player until he got hurt this year, and they think he'll be all right. Owen Stoudemire from Boston College. And okay. Then Whitmer from Pittsburgh was a four-star recruit. So they got three guys, but they're still lacking that big space-eating body that you kind of would love to have for 20, 25 snaps a game. And, you know, that could be Berryman, you know, if they were able to get him out of the high school ranks. But it just puts into perspective how tough it is to get the top D linemen. I mean, there's very few of them out there. And whatever you think the market is for a guy on that position, it generally is higher. And then even it's not even about the money at a certain point. You know, if Miami or Alabama or someone like Texas Tech, who's a playoff team, is involved, you can continue to match the money, but they're still probably going to take the team that's the better program right now. I mean, so it's not just the money. There's a lot of other factors that go into getting some of these defensive linemen. They got three, though, and Dylan Berryman from the high school ranks still is out there.
Sean Callahan of Husker Online joining us. Sean, speaking of, as we kind of like look back on this transfer portal class, is there any position group or any area that you expected Nebraska to maybe do a little bit more, but they came away with what they did?
Well, running back, I think you just wonder, you know, what just the fact that they don't really have a lot of production returning. I mean, Mosey and Mekhi Nelson have some production. Quentin Ives has some production, but by no means is that generally what you'd like. You know, we feel really good about this. We don't need to get anybody. So I think running back's the no-brainer where you wonder, because they're either going to look really smart and one of these guys on the current roster is going to emerge and be really good, kind of like Emma Johnson, to be honest, and maybe not to that level, but, you know, be good where you're like, you can see the path where they're going to head down the rest of their career, or you're going to say, wow, they really missed the boat. You know, like Iowa signed a running back out of South Dakota, and he was the best back in FCS. I mean, that was a guy, you know, like, you have to be a good back at Nebraska, but they clearly like their room. You know, Chamar Brown has been mentioned, oh, will he enter from Miami? I don't think anything's going to happen there with Nebraska right now, from what I've heard, at least over the last 24 hours. So it does appear they are moving forward, obviously, with this running back room.
Sean, on top, building off of that, after the season that Emmett Johnson had, obviously, this year, and the way that Nebraska ran the ball traditionally on the ground, obviously, you bring in now Colandera with a little bit more durability at quarterback. What does the traditional run game look like next year for Nebraska?
Well, I think with Calandria, you know, he's got the zone read ability and the ability to run the RPO and just a lot of things. You know, Dylan could do those things, but he wasn't a threat to pull it and run. I mean, he did it sometimes, but this wasn't an effective play for Nebraska. I think now that becomes an effective play where they're able to make that a part of their offense, and that ability might actually help the running back. So that's what you have to bank on. The you know, when you see Calandria scored 10 rushing touchdowns this year, you know you've got somebody in the red zone. And when you're in the red zone, that quarterback run game is a game changer if you have that, because it's not easy to score when the safeties are up and everything is tougher in that tight red zone area. So I do think the mobility at quarterback should help open things up, and we might see more of kind of the Dana Holgorsen offense where, you know, it's a little bit more up-tempo. Nebraska, in terms of plays per game, is in the low 60s on average for the season, which is one of the lower numbers in the country. I mean, you know, so they have not really operated at much of a pace on offense, and it'll be interesting if that ramps up a little bit more, if they feel like they can.
Okay, Sean, we haven't talked to you about what Matt Rhule said on Friday about the spring. This spring setup is much different. It's going to start, the spring season is going to start in late February with the spring game set for March
28th.
What was your reaction to that sort of new schedule that we haven't seen here?
Well, yeah, 32 days from now is when they open up practice, which is crazy.
A month away, yeah.
to think that, yeah, we're almost a month. You know, I think Saturday will be 4 weeks from the start of spring ball. They're going to open on a Saturday in February, late February, go three straight weeks, take a week off, then come back for the last week. And, you know, the Zach Bryant concert is kind of a big reason why the schedule is a little off, because that concert takes the stadium April 25th, and it also takes the stadium April 18th. You know, so there's just a lot of moving parts with that event kind of hogging up the two prime April weekends. Because he needs 8 days, is my understanding, to prepare and build. I mean, they got to build the stage from scratch in there. You know, it's not like they pull in the PBA and just plug in the truck. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into putting that. So the stadium not being available, I think, is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have pushed the spring to later, like, say, May 2nd, which is the absolute latest you could do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Matt Rhule's like, you know what, I want to get this thing rolling. Let's kind of get going with these new guys, get the extra time. It does kind of change the winter philosophy of what we've seen with Matt Rhule with these, you know, boot camp, mat drills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure they're going to do some of that to an extent, but, you know, Saturday we're 4 weeks away from it, so you're not going to have the traditional mat drills because the coaches are on the road recruiting right now until the end of January. So there's you know, the coaches generally would have been around for all the mat drills and all that stuff. So I'm interested what they do with that side of it. But I think that era of the winter, you know, kind of killing your team, you do it to an extent, but now you're paying these guys so much money and the way you're doing your roster, it's a little bit different era of college football. But, yeah, this is an early start to the spring, the earliest ever that we've seen. I do remember, though, under Pelini, there was a time where we started, like, February 27th or February 28th, and then they would do, like, they would break up the practices around spring break. But this is even earlier than that.
Sean, is this – I mean, Matt Rhule said these words the other night, that we're going to let the quarterbacks battle it out. We're going to let TJ Latif, Calandria, and Daniel Kalen battle it out. Are they really going to battle it out? Or is this Calandria's?
Sure.
Are they?
Well, I mean, to an extent, yeah. But, yeah, Calandria's got to prove it, obviously. But, yeah, I think he comes in with a leg up. There's no question.
Okay.
And, you know, you got to continue with Latif in the conversation, too. But you've got three quarterbacks on this roster who have basically been FBS starters. I mean, Daniel Kalen, you know, went 18 of 28 in a game passing against Wake Forest. And he's put up some numbers at Wake Forest, as well as obviously what Latif did. But body of work-wise, yeah, Calandria is the odds-on favor. But, you know, you still got to kind of run it through. And it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, just to see what these three guys do and what Dana does with Calandria. It's just so different than what they were doing before, in my opinion, with Dylan Raiola. And I'm interested to see how Dana kind of evolves his system to fit the skill set of the new quarterbacks.
Sean, a couple more before we get you out of here, and this is probably a quick one. When you look at the and assess the quarterback room as a whole, do you feel like it's taken a step in the right direction? Has it been upgraded in comparison to last year from a holistic view?
Yeah, it's a hard question because Dylan obviously is a very talented player.
Very.
And look, they had a chance. You know, if they beat USC, they were in a position to beat USC, but then he got hurt. So you hate to just say, you know, no. You know, but I think in the direction of where college football is, you need mobility at quarterback. And that's what I like about the new direction with Calandria. And obviously, Kalen can run it. He had a 54-yard run this year. But, you know, Latif's a runner too. But you go to the national championship game, it's 4th and 6, and what do? They call a quarterback run play, and it won the national championship. I mean, you need quarterbacks that can make plays like that, and I think that's what I'm most excited about is having that ability. You know, if you're being honest, like Nebraska football's in history have only had a handful of non-mobile quarterbacks, and maybe Zach Taylor was the only one that was really successful. And he had an elite coach in terms of drawing up offense, and Bill Callahan as far as the understanding of that pro offense. And Zach obviously was an elite offensive mind, and they won the Big 12 champion North Championship, and he was the Big 12 Player of the Year. But other than that, in the history of Nebraska, in recent history, they just haven't had success without mobility at quarterback. So I do like the direction it's heading in that way.
In the in your final analysis, Sean, as we sort of continue to assess the portal season, how do you feel about Nebraska's player retention rate? Who they got back, who they lost?
Well, I think Keona Davis is the big one. You know, when you talk about guys they lost, I think
and Dylan.
You would love to
Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan. I mean, but we kind of, I mean, that was known a long time ago. Like, I'm not, like, shocked. I mean, when he was already out, it was, like, out in November, like, that he was leaving. So, and I know, like, they denied it, and you know, nobody knew what was going on. But the shell shock of that one, and even, you know, you'd love to have Hartsog back, but I get it. He wants to try something different as last year, but you know, Keona's the one that you'd probably love to have back of all the hits. Houston Kahina Torres going to Michigan, though, does get your attention.
Yes.
It tells you that they had a pretty good young lineman there. And the new Utah coaching staff with all of their, you know, Polynesian recruiting connections clearly jumped on that to bring into Michigan.
Sean, Bill Bush, 93.7, The Ticket. Steve raved about the lunch you bought him at Bagels and Joe's.
It was good.
Said it was an incredible sandwich. He also feels it's a little bit of a cover-up for the lack of vacation time.
I did not feel that way,
he
Sean.
Felt that you got him the sandwich because of the vacation time had been kind of, it's been kind of overlooked.
That is, was that, not said.
Is that hey, accurate?
I told Sip, get your to schedule your vacation. The show
he told me to
on,
quit
buddy.
Him hon. Yeah. He told me to quit him hon.
But he did say, he goes, I got this incredible sandwich with a salad with cheese, and I think Sean did it as a ruse.
No, he did not. Sean, I did not say that.
To
that
cover
was
up for the lack.
The, I brought him really the pick three combo. Okay. It was legit.
It was so legit. Like
he said it was incredible, Sean. I'm not pushing back on that at all. Yeah. What's the pick three? What is that?
Yeah, what is it?
It was like half a sandwich, turkey sandwich, and then it was like a half of a salad. And it was like a strawberry chicken salad with nuts.
Yeah,
and
cheese.
And a bag of chips.
That's the final thing. I forgot about the chips.
Wow. What kind of chips? Was it barbecue chips?
No, it was like $10. I mean, it's a hell of a deal, honestly. Yeah.
That's a great deal. Thank you, Sean.
Swim does that. Swim goes to Bagels and Joe. You do.
I do. Yes, I do.
You get sandwiches.
Yep. The best part was you go, it was a sandwich, and Bill goes, was it a bagel sandwich? From Bagels
if I
and Joe.
Don't feed Sipple, like he's living off of like gas station hot dogs.
It's pretty bad.
Which is incredible. I love, there's never a time I walk by a roller dog and I don't at least stop and look and admire. I stop and admire every time. And I say I get one 80% of the time.
Such an old man.
Yeah, it's incredible.
He's on the Daily Owns burritos now, though. I think that's the new
bacon.
Yeah.
The bacon ones. They're really good. Good for you, too.
All right, Sean. Appreciate the time, as
Thank
always.
You, Sean.
We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
There is Sean Callahan, Husker Online. Before we get to break, I do have something that we talked about last segment.
Is it breaking news?
It is not.
Oh.
But it is.
Is better, it a ruse?
I will say my version of Better Times.
Okay. Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Do you know this at all? This stems from
is amazing.
If you're joining us from the game show, this is Bill Nye, famous from
Washington. I'm very knowledgeable of Bill Nye, the science
Why?
Guy. I didn't know the song. Well, because of helping the kids with school, so especially GJ. So I'd be, my name is Bill.
Oh.
So I'd be Bill Nye, Bill Bush, the science guy.
Bill Bush, the science guy.
Yeah. But I could only do like third and fourth grade science, because once we got into the fifth grade, then
getting
it's like
a little rougher.
Got a little, all of a sudden had to spend time in front of the computer to figure it out.
Yeah.
So okay.
Bill Nye, the Science Guy theme song.
Yeah.
You guys are all very familiar with that.
Yeah.
Very.
Connor is. Look at Connor.
But that was not during our era.
No. This would not be us at all.
Great show.
We would have, and I'm only a Bill.
That was beautiful.
Sitting here on Capitol Hill. Oh, that was cool.
Saturday mornings.
Did you guys ever have, probably not, the Conjunction Junction?
Yes.
What's your function? Are you kidding me?
Okay, great.
Oh, that was great. That
I feel like this is a real bonding moment for
yes,
us.
Yes, it really is.
Don't go too far with that.
Yeah, easy.
Okay.
Easy.
Before we get to break.
God.
Sorry, how dare I? Before we get to break, are you looking for an exciting new way to put your skills to work?
I am.
Explore new career options in the fintech industry.
Finance.
At Currency, a Sandhills Global company. They offer
full-time. Is it regional or Sandhills Global?
Sandhills Global.
Global,
company.
Not regional. Okay.
It's global.
It's global. Think about it.
Barbados.
Argentina.
Sandhills Global.
Yes. They're everywhere.
Yep.
Peru.
Lima. Yeah.
They offer full-time positions in financial sales, compliance, operations, and other fields. They have a 4.5-day work week, an attractive benefits package, and opportunities for advancement. Visit gocurrency.com/careers to learn more.
Wow. Thank you.
Carson Schott.
Currency. It's on their global event center. Currency. How about that?
Out at those fairgrounds.
You ever go out there swim?
Yes, I pass it often, actually.
Oh, Is that where your girlfriend is?
No. Is she out there? Hold it. Is there a different girlfriend?
No, there's not.
Do I need to get a hold of Bruce? Bruce!
God dang it. You gotta watch what you say.
Watch what you say, because you already said you were out last night drinking beers with somebody.
I was out with some buddies.
Yeah. $53 bill.
Yeah,
it's two people.
Two people. Do the math.
Not two people.
Just you? Get $53 worth of beer? Where were you at?
The best part was Bruce earlier in the show texted me and goes, don't get so defensive.
Yeah.
So we understand.
We understand.
We've been there, Swim.
Look at the Miller Lite truck.
There's
It'd be
nothing
fun to drive
there
that thing.
About.
Swim.
I don't know.
That'd be a sweet job.
All right.
Right there, Miller Lite van.
Drive it around to Casey's and stuff and bring in, what do you guys need, a couple cases? Yeah, whatever.
Don't need a lot of Miller Lite.
Right now, it's not selling real well by the size of the van. It's not. I mean, that's like one good party, it looks like.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go to break. When we come back.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Vegas still doesn't believe in Nebraska ball. Does the fan base believe in Nebraska ball?
Good question.
Let's talk about when we come back. Early break on the ticket.